from Bhagavad Gita in the evening. And in the morning also. After a few months, he began to speak on Chaitanya Charitamrita in the morning. So there was no formal instruction on Bhagavatam, except for those few devotees who took the trouble to buy the books from him personally and read them and make out of them whatever they could. He sold them for $6 per volume. They were hardbound books, and they have since been published in facsimile form by the BBT, meaning just like they were when they were printed by Prabhupada with the hard print copy rather than photocopy, and lots of mistakes in spelling and grammar and in placement of the words on the page. But there's a very special flavor to those books, which makes them very savorable. So I knew he had the books in his room. And one day on my lunch hour, I was a caseworker for the Department of Welfare of New York City. I didn't get to stay very much with Prabhupada during the daytime. There were about 6 or 7 boys who used to hang out with him in his room, and he would talk to them throughout the day. But I didn't have time for that. I came in the morning when he had a morning class, and in the evening when he had his evening class. So one time during lunch hour at work, I went over and I asked him, "Are you selling the Srimad Bhagavatam?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I'd like to buy them." And he was very lively for a commercial exchange. And he said, "Yes, they're $6 each." And he asked one of the boys to get them, maybe Kirtan Ananda. You've seen those books, they have colored covers on them. Nice artwork showing Krishna Loka in the center and the Vaikuntha planets surrounding them, and then the material world with Mahavishnu and the sun, the moon, and the other planets. He worked personally with the artist in New Delhi and planned out the book to be drawn artistically just the way it was. So I said to him, "These are commentaries on the scriptures," just to show off that I knew what they were. Commentaries. He said, "Yes." I said, I would like to have all three. So he gave them to me. And I had a $20 bill. I gave him the $20 bill. And he said, I don't have any change. I said, that's all right. You can keep the change. So he did. And I was very happy to get those books. They were such strange objects with a bold print. And the Sanskrit. And the strange words. Sanskrit, Roman transliteration. It was hard to make them out. Hard to understand what they meaning. But still, there was something very delicious about them, and I enjoyed reading them. Another intimate exchange I had with him about the Srimad Bhagavatam came when I saw him alone in his room, and I had been reading it, and I asked him a question. He hadn't spoken on this topic in his classes, and so he was very surprised when I brought it up to him. I said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have written that the sage Vyasadeva wrote many, many books of spiritual knowledge, but still he was unhappy. Why was he unhappy after writing all those books? When I asked that question, he opened his eyes very wide, and he was very pleased that I had asked, which was a confidential question, something he hadn't spoken on. And he explained it to me briefly. Now I'll explain it to you more elaborately. Srila Vyasadeva was sitting in his ashram by the Ganges after having compiled so many Vedic literatures like Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, the Vedas, and yet he was feeling somehow not satisfied within himself, and he didn't know the cause of this. Then, while thinking about it, it occurred to him what was wrong. And at the exact moment, that he discovered within himself what the lacking was. At that moment, his spiritual master appeared before him. It was a great spiritual coincidence or call for help, and then the guru appears. And his guru was Narada. And Narada said to him, could it be that you are not satisfied because you have identified the self with the body and the mind? And at that moment, Vyasadeva was thinking to himself the same question. To identify the self as the body or the mind is foolish. Because the real self is different than the body and the mind. The real self is the spirit soul. So your inquiries will not bring you satisfaction. You have to go beyond that. You have to understand the soul, the super soul, and the supreme personality of Godhead in order to get real understanding and happiness and satisfaction. Krishna. Krishna Priya. She in a good mood? Narada told Vyasa that he had to understand God, Krishna, the Supreme Truth, in order to be satisfied. Then Narada was asked by Vyasadeva questions about himself. to know all these things that you know, these truths about Krishna, the absolute truth. Please tell me about yourself in your former life. So Vyasa then, so Narada then told Vyasa, in my previous life, I was born as the son of a maidservant in a very lowly settings. My mother used to run an inn, ashram, and she would host sadhus who came there and give them a place to stay and food. And I used to help clean up. And I used to hear them talking, although I was a very small boy. Just by hearing them converse and not taking part in the conversation, the nature of the self became revealed to me. And once, by asking their permission, I took some of their prasadam. He said he was a very good boy, although he was very young. He didn't play sports or wasn't naughty, and he was very quiet. And so the sages treated him in kind and were very nice to him and taught him about Krishna. And he learned over a period of time. They stayed there 3 seasons, the rainy season and the dry season, when it wasn't good to travel. They stayed at the home of Narada's mother. And he learned all about Krishna from them. Then when they were leaving, they blessed him. And he became self-realized. But he was only 5 years old, and he had no more further instruction. His mother was a very simple woman and didn't know the philosophy. And they were very poor. And he was very unfortunate because one night while his mother was milking a cow, she was bitten on the leg by a poisonous snake and died. So he was left all alone in the world to take care of himself. But he was a very determined boy, and although he was that age, he just packed up and left home. He headed for the north with some belongings and wandered in the forest. Reminds me of Radhanath Maharaja's book, Wandering in the Forest in the Different Caves and Jungles. no protection. And he lived in the caves where there were snakes and tigers and lions and very dangerous places where owls would appear and bats. But he would practice the meditation that the sages had taught him at his mother's house, and he would get peace of mind praying to Krishna. And once while doing that, Narada saw Krishna appear in his heart. And Narada heard Krishna say to him, that because you are a very good saintly boy, I am appearing before you. You cannot expect this to happen again, but those who are saintly can get my darshan and understand who I am. And then he disappeared, and Narada was bereft, shocked, that he had seen the Lord and now the Lord disappeared. Just as if you see something very desirable and then it goes away, you get shocked. He was shocked. And he tried to do that meditation again, but the Lord wouldn't appear. Then the Lord spoke to him, however, and said, Narada, only those who are completely free from sin can expect to see me in this lifetime. When you are free from sin, you will see me again. So Narada got up immediately from that spot and began wandering, trying to find the Lord again. He went all over the forests and jungles trying to see Krishna, but he could not find him. But from time to time he would hear his voice encouraging him. Narada traveled, and he also chanted, and he also preached about the glories of the Lord. In the course of time, he passed his life and died. And he entered into the body of the Lord. For a long time he remained merged in the body of Vishnu, and at the time of the next creation, when Brahma was born, Narada came out too. He was born at the time of a new creation, but he was enlightened. And he knew Krishna now. Now, Narada said, I'm able to see Krishna, and I go about playing this veena, or this stringed instrument that he gave me. And I praise Krishna and tell people about Krishna wherever I go. After having said this, then Narada disappeared. Yasudev was left alone, just like Narada was left alone. And just as Narada meditated, Yasudev meditated, and he got to hear the voice of the Lord also. The Lord told him to sit down and meditate. Did so on the bank of the Saraswati River in a grove of berries, and he saw Krishna, and he not only saw Krishna, he saw the material energy who accompanies Krishna. He saw the jivas, and he saw the anomalies or the bad things that were occurring in the age. He saw everything, in other words. In a vision. Yes, it was so fortunate. And then he was able to sit down and write Srimad Bhagavatam with complete clarity of all he had witnessed. And that's the story of the origin of Srimad Bhagavatam as told by Suta Goswami, who heard it in an assembly of sages at Namisharanya. And they were all amazed to hear Vyasadeva's account of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Gradually, Prabhupada began to translate more and more of Srimad Bhagavatam and publish the books. He published new edited versions of the first canto, 3 volumes. And then second canto, which he did in Boston with the ISKCON Press in Boston. Then third canto, fourth canto. And he began a whole production line. And then devotees began to study it now. Every morning, we would hold the Srimad Bhagavatam class. We would learn how to recite the Sanskrit, recite it in translation, just as now in ISKCON. This continues. This is the main scripture that we study. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We recite the verse in the English and in the purport. Everything is contained in Srimad Bhagavatam for a person's self-realization, knowledge of Krishna. In 9 cantos, and then in the 10th canto, the life of Krishna is told separately. All his pastimes with the Brijabasis in Krishna Loka. Does anyone have any questions about Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes.
Could you give us a little more confidential feeling and pace and mood as
Yes, that was a very special thing. Prabhupada called the Srimad Bhagavatam a Herculean task, named after the great hero of the Greek mythology, Hercules. Who could do it but a Hercules? And he began it in his 60s. So he wondered whether he could actually finish it in his lifetime. Because he was doing it so carefully with the Sanskrit to each verse. Therefore, when he came to America, he decided that he should go right away to the 10th canto, which is the most important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and tell Krishna's life story. And in a most miraculous way, we say it's miraculous and we have recorded proof of it, of Prabhupada dictating on the dictaphone how he did it so quickly. He would use the book that contained the commentaries of the acharyas like Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and the other Goswamis. He would pick out from them, and then he would mix in his own English commentaries based on his knowledge of preaching in America. hear him on these dictaphones speaking very fluidly the story of Krishna as a child, killing Putana, killing Bakasura, dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance. All the details are there. It's just amazing that he was able to do it. And all the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam is present in his Bhaktivedanta purports of the Krishna book, 10th canto. He wanted it done with lots of illustrations, done as quickly as possible. So he had a marathon of artists. Some of the artists were very much beginners, but he nevertheless had them produce the best they could. And there's a special charm in those paintings. Do you have something here? Yeah, me. I was the typist. He would type them on a reel-to-reel tape recording. He did a lot of work in San Francisco when I was in Boston. And he would send them to me. And he had about 5 tapes, and he would say, I have 2 tapes with you. With me here. Do you have the other 3? Please do not miss them. Why have you not sent me the copies? Do not leave me in the dark. Get these done quickly. Your work is very nice. Yes, you may send copies of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Gaurasundar and Pradyumna. And so I was the first one to type the Srimad Bhagavatam and then Krishna book. And I would give the classes in the morning. And the devotees would hear the stories for the first time. All these amazing, wonderful stories. Sometimes an Indian man would come into our storefront and try to tell us some story about Bakasura or something. We'd just close our ears. We wouldn't want to hear it from them. We'd go, well, I know all about Krishna. I know this story. But we wanted to hear it from Prabhupada. They're very famous stories. I remember once in the storefront, he asked me to speak, and the room was filled with people, and I was telling the story. Which story was it? I don't remember right now. Maybe Bakasura. Oh, I know what it was. It was Krishna stealing the butter. And they said, and Krishna stole the butter. And he said, this butter is useless. Even the monkeys won't take it. They've taken so much, they don't want any more. This butter is useless. And as I said it, everyone was smiling like anything. And I was wondering, why are they smiling so much that I'm saying this? And it was that they were looking at Prabhupada and he was smiling. And we went on a radio show in Boston and told the story of once upon a time when the world was overflooded by demons who were actually Kshatriyas dressed as demons. Krishna came to the earth and we played a drum and played out the parts. Yeah, and people in the area, it was a college station, but it broadcast pretty widely, and they heard the Krishna book radio shows from the Krishna temple. Published in India by Dainapan Press. I remember when the books came, they arrived on the lawn. The books were on the lawn of the temple, and the devotees were just ripping open the books, the box, and grabbing a hold of the books. Let me see. George Harrison paid for the printing, $19,000, and he wrote an introduction in the beginning, which Shyamasundar helped him write, and that was very kind of George to write that. Shyamasundar tells a story that he asked George at his place if he could donate $19,000 for the Krishna book. And George got very serious look on his face, like, oh, these people are after my money. And all of a sudden, all the lights went out. There was a thunderbolt. And all the lights went out in the house. And then they came on again. And he said, yes, yes, I will pay. And that sparked big book distribution. Devotees went around with those books that were so attractive and went to people's homes and showed them. And they were attracted. Sure, I'll take one. $6. Sophisticated people at their homes knock on their doors, ask them if they'd like to buy them. A set of Krishna books from India. Many books were sold in a day. especially in California. No. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah, he encouraged me in my writing, encouraged me to write back to God. He said I was a good writer, so I began to think like that. I told Prabhupada that I had written a book and that there was a publisher in Chicago who was going to publish it. And he said, the first thing he said was, don't let them cheat you. He said, just because it's a religious book, he said, don't let them think they can pay less.
Showing by your example to always read it. What's the key to approaching a book that you've read so many times to see it as new and fresh?
Take Prabhupada's word for it. He says that spiritual writing is fresh, material writing is stale. So we try to see it that way. And it is. It says Bhagavad Gita, you always see something new when you read it. And other books are not like that. Material books, you can't keep reading them. So it's proof is in the pudding. And you want to become a better scholar of those books, so you keep reading them. It's 11:30. We're going to have a feast at 12:30?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be ready at 12:30.
I always feel a little awkward about asking devotees to speak about me. I told Ramapad Swami that for a few years I wasn't doing it anymore. And he said, oh, there's a trade-off, isn't there? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you gain by not doing it, being modest. But you lose by not allowing the devotees to speak their hearts. So, I don't like to force devotees to say something nice about me. So I try to sometimes make an angle that they could speak just an anecdote. Some doesn't have to be something wonderful I did, but some praise, excuse me, some, not some praise, but just some funny thing that exchanged between us. Okay, I don't remember the girl's name, and she told me that Samak Rishi came to Gita Nagari, and he pulled up in his car, and he got out of the car, his family was in the car, and he just got out of the car and didn't put the brake on. And made his obeisances, and the car kept rolling. So unaware. Five minutes at a time. Okay. And you can also, since I don't exchange so much with devotees nowadays, stay at my place. It can be something that you read in a book that really struck you. Yeah.
Well, it's very maroon, and since you say when you read in a book, and when you knew when you're in Japa, transformation. You would talk, speak on the, you would give an account of how you started, you know, in your morning. And some days you were just so frank. I'm late, you know, I've only got this many rounds done. And
yeah.
I would have to calm you down and things like that. And then after that, you give these poems about anything you did. But one poem that just stays in my head is you were speaking, and then you were speaking about Japa, and you said, take shelter, say the holy name, say it over and over again, over and over and over again, say it again, and see something. And And that whole refrain of you saying it like that, I could feel myself being there with you. It was just so powerful. I mean, for Jaffa, I like, you know, I like these small things that you could hold on with. I call them, they are transformations. But that one was just extremely powerful. And then I would be talking to people about the holy name. I said, say it until you're tired, over and over again. So in your reading, that's been a very powerful thing. Sorry it's not funny.
That's good. Haridas? Got anything to say? We talk every Sunday on the phone.
Come on out.
There's an extra something in there that's very nice, but unduplicatable. So when you would sit and play it even other, you would play the cartels for quite some time before you began singing. And that rhythm would calm everybody down and get everybody focused. So it was very helpful for the kirtan and the bhajan. So I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was, I saw Vaikunthanath with him. We spoke with him, and he was an old associate of yours.
Yeah.
In Boston. So when we talked, he said, please, I'll stop to the Maharaj. I said, well, I'd like to see him. He was very affectionate. So I came and told you about that in some conversation. And during the conversation, after I told you, then you began to talk about Boston a little and said that you were there and it was very nice. But you know, had his wedding as a triple wedding.
Yeah.
But thinking out from Saradia, I think, and Bhardwaj and Nishini and Nanda Kishore and Janava.
Yeah.
And so just thinking back, well, for some reason I was thinking back to like the picture when the installation in Boston of the Beatings happened. You were doing the fire sacrifice and that service, so I said, so who did the marriage? And you showed great pride all of a sudden, great pride for him. You said, and I can't imitate it, maybe you can do it. He said, with an incredulous look, as if the question itself needed no answer. There was only one possible answer.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
I could say two little things, if it's all right.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune of spending 1 week with you in September, and my duty was to wake up your deities at 2:30, and that was a challenge for me. One night I happened to stay up till 2 o'clock, and another night I stayed up to 12 o'clock, and one night I got to sleep at 10, but somehow I made it by 2:30, and every single day, 7 days in a row, you were sitting there in your chair, peacefully chanting Chapa at 2:30. Every day, and I was just so impressed because your body is giving you so much trouble with these two or three headaches every day, and you're 70 years old, and you have different challenges, but every single day you're without fail taking this most important instruction of Srila Prabhupada, to chant 16 lines perfectly seriously, and I was like really amazed, and I felt really proud to have such a fired up spiritual master. And another thing is like my relatives came to visit because
yes.
I'm a very bad cook and Baladev is a really good cook and he takes pleasure in cooking. So I decided I could save myself some trouble by inviting the relatives over to have Baladev's cooking. And basically I didn't hold out a lot of hope for my devotees becoming great devotees of Krishna, but I see them as prasadam cases. So But I was so amazed that Guru Maharaj decided to take time out of his life and spend half an hour talking with these people who I don't see as prime candidates for self-realization from the point of view of somebody who's going to chant 16 rounds and follow the four rules before they leave their body. But he was willing to take time out of his life and give himself to them.
Yeah, they were nice people.
So thank you for your kindness and your awesome sadhana at such a advanced age. I hope I'm getting up at 2 and chanting 16 rounds and I'm 71 years old if I survive that long.
Vishnu Priya is eating. When did she have her first eating? Who fed her? You? What did you give her? Sweet rice?
We had family. It's actually a program at our house. You know, what she gave me. And then we told them we were doing a ceremony. The bodhisattva of the town. One of the bodhisattva came. And loved it because she the book and the money.
What did you take, Prabhu? Money? Yes. Good, we need the money. Oh, we're having a meeting today at 4:00. I know often there's not too many people here today, but there's a good group. But a lot of people go away and they don't come for 4:00 meeting, but I have some real nice things. We have two new books, completely new, and I have two really nice letters. One letter from the devotees in Russia giving a report of all the books they sold in a year and their feelings about it. I spoke to them on Skype the other day, and I said to them, I didn't know where they were. There was a room full of them. I said, are you in Vrindavan? And they all laughed. They said, no, Moscow. And I said, oh, is Moscow like Vrindavan? They said, yes. So I have a letter from with report on book sales from the devotees in Russia, and a report from Gita Nagari Press, and I want to distribute books, these new books. So I know it's late in the day, but if you can come at 4 here, that would be nice. Too late, Vishnu Priya? Bhakti?
Temple Valley myself and Kirby Dad in the westerly direction in the afternoon.
and we arrived in the countryside just as the sun was going down. So we sat in the van and put the tape on. And when we heard the presentation that you made about the Asapurja, with the sun setting and very beautiful countryside, it was such a moving experience for us that you were able to introduce something new like that. Your pioneering spirit, which is such an endearing quality that you have, and share it with us in that lonely outpost of Krishna, charged by Krishna consciousness. So I thought I'd like to try and make a tribute to that expression of yourself by playing a little jazz music. I remember in 2005, you were kind enough to let me stay with you in North California for 5 weeks. And we were, one day we spoke privately, and then you played me a jazz music, and you gifted me a tape of the Miles Davis quintet with the title track Round Midnight on it. So I thought I would like to play that and just read out a few poems.
Okay.
This isn't the best quality.
Round midnight, I love to hear how you'd rise about then, following example, answering the call of your great guru before you. Write in Krishna's service, not just one line or two, something substantial, sharing your realizations. The six Goswamis didn't claim to have captured Krishna, but cried out in separation, Hey Radhe, Brajadevi Ke, Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. O Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O Son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you now? In their line, you don't claim Krishna praying, truly sharing your striving and troubles, encourages followers in their glorious struggle. Prayers to Lord Krishna, appealing, revealing, chanting through anartha, purification, crying out in separation. O Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, where are you now? That poem is called Sighing for Killarney. And this next poem is called Gentleman. 90 miles an hour on a rainy day, speeding down the motorway. Passion and ignorance me in a Sankirtan van. Stereo playing loudly, Guru Maharaj Kirtan. Straight into my lane, a car pulls out. Can I avoid it? I begin to doubt. Swerve to miss as closer it looms. With a glancing kiss, control I lose. Things happen so fast that time stands still. The whole scene now is beyond my will. Over central reservation, in the flying van, with lips and ears and being, I enter the kirtan. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. The cop says, miracle, you came out alive. Surely by karma, I wouldn't have survived. Van is a write-off, but no scratch on my face. Guru Maharaj's Sankirtan is my saving grace. 30 miles an hour down an Irish country lane. A as Guru Maharaj's chauffeur, I'm driving again. Slow down, he cautions. Take care for the birds. Pray to become gentle by his gentle words.
Nice. Okay.